Welcome to the three-month website study program, Born to Serve, the Evolution of the Soul Through Service. There are four audios in this course. The first audio introduces you to the message in the Dalai Lama's foreword to Born to Serve, the Michelangelo metaphor of service, service from a soul perspective, and the purpose of the 10 Universal Tributes. The second audio introduces you to the shadow of service. The third audio covers introductory material related to the 7 evolutionary soul stages of service. The fourth and final audio offers suggestions for continued work with the Born to Serve material. Let's start this audio with how it happened that the Dalai Lama wrote the foreword to Born to Serve. I had a dream in which the Dalai Lama said to me, "I want to support your work." I didn't immediately connect it to the writing of Born to Serve. In fact, I felt rather shy about even having received such a profound message from the Dalai Lama, whom I had held in high esteem for many years. Then I had this same dream again, and this time I took notice. I sensed the dream meant that I was to ask him to write the foreword to Born to Serve. Still doubting my interpretation, I shared my dream with a Tibetan Buddhist Lama that I knew and asked him if my interpretation of the dream was correct. He immediately responded with, "Yes, you must do it. You must do it." So I wrote the Dalai Lama and sent him a copy of the manuscript. I soon received word from his headquarters in India that his answer was yes. And so it was. You may wonder how the Dalai Lama's writing of the foreword to Born to Serve relates to the book and to the trilogy as a whole. I sense this came about because the Dalai Lama is a living example of service as a universal spiritual practice. His service reaches all of humanity. I think service to him is at the heart of all life. Service as the heart of all life, and thus at the heart of spiritual development, is Born to Serve's primary message and why it was written. Actually, his teachings about service are in harmony with the entire teachings in the Soul and Service Trilogy. Let's move now to Michelangelo's teachings about service. I felt the presence of Michelangelo throughout the writing of Born to Serve. It was as though he wanted people to know that his sculpting was not just a piece of art, but represented a profound teaching about the true meaning of service. That is, he wanted people to view his sculpting in the context of what it means to be of service. Night after night for a year, Michelangelo appeared in my dreams, informing me of the nature of his relationship with the marble he was sculpting. He was clearly teaching me the meaning of true service by providing an energetic experience of his partnership with the marble and the marble's partnership with him. Often I was either in his consciousness as sculptor or in the consciousness of the marble being sculpted. In other words, sometimes I was Michelangelo, and sometimes I was the marble. I knew that a perfected sculpture was a joint goal of both Michelangelo and the marble. In fact, Michelangelo was always looking for perfect white marble. When he saw an image of the perfect statue within the marble that would be the marble he would purchase. Michelangelo and the marble spoke and cooperated with one another from the very beginning until, together, They released the statue that revealed both the sculptor's and the marble's perfected potential. Michelangelo and the marble were one. The sculpture wanted to realize its potential, as did Michelangelo. Michelangelo joined with the marble in purpose by chiseling, burnishing, and polishing the marble until that purpose was fulfilled. Michelangelo's perfected potential as a sculptor was what enabled him to serve the marble by removing what was unnecessary for the statue to emerge in its perfection. Metaphors, like that of Michelangelo and the marble, denote that one kind of object or idea can be used in place of another to suggest a likeness or analogy between them. Metaphors reveal something essential to be understood. They reveal a possible relationship between seemingly diverse forms. For example, Michelangelo's sculpting of marble is analogous to the server-served partnership. Sometimes in service, we are the sculptor, the teacher, and sometimes the marble, the student. Sometimes we are helping another remove obstacles to his or her soul knowledge, and sometimes another is helping to remove these obstacles from us. Regardless of our role, we serve one another. Our partnership with one another creates a masterpiece of awakening and soul knowledge. Actually, this analogy works for animals too. Animals serve humans. Humans serve animals, or animals serve animals. These relationships can awaken soul knowledge in each other. Service as a partnership between the server and the one served explains the purest service that I was able to discover. Michelangelo expresses this in one of his poems. Beauteous art, brought with us from heaven, will conquer nature. So divine a power belongs to him who strives with every nerve. If I was made for art, from childhood given, a prey for burning beauty to devour, I blame the mistress I was born to serve. Note that I thread Michelangelo's teachings about service throughout Born to Serve, the book. In Born to Serve, I write that service and the unfoldment of our soul are intimately connected. But what do I mean by this perspective of service? Service has been a major theme threading itself throughout my life. Early on, I found myself questioning what it meant to be of service, and I always viewed service as an aspect of my spiritual life. I tell much of my story in Born to Serve and in The Awakened Leader, the second book of the trilogy, so I won't repeat it here. What I'd like to share is my conclusion, namely that service is an expression of our life story and our personal healing. I introduce the idea of service as the gift of events in our life on page 1 in Born to Serve when I share something that actually happened to me, but which I write about as a story. A woman lay in a daisy field, watching the clouds and contemplating her life. She remembered with deep regret all the times she had harmed herself and others. With all her heart, she looked to the heavens and asked for forgiveness. Suddenly, one of the clouds descended. Standing on it was an angel child who beckoned the woman to board the cloud. She did as bidden. The two rode the cloud to a great building in which there were many men, women, and children of all races, colors, creeds, and religions. The angel child led the woman inside, where she was presented with a white book beautifully decorated with a gold rose. Then he led her back to the cloud and guided it back to the daisy field. The woman had barely been able to contain her excitement over her gift. Alone in the field, she examined the book. When she opened it, she saw there was only one page, and on that page was written, "There is nothing to forgive. Use what you have learned from your life to help others." To me, this story expresses the essence of service. That is, to extend to others through service what we learn and heal in our own lives. This doesn't mean we tell people what to do or take responsibility from them. Rather, we offer choices and opportunities in many, many ways. Because just what I said is not simple nor easy, we need to give some of our attention to gaining a deeper understanding of the nature of service. We need to study, learn, and practice service. For most of us, this takes a lifetime. I decided to write a book that would guide people to learning how to serve in a healthy manner. Born to Serve was written to advance the knowledge of service, which incidentally is the name of our organization, Institute for the Advancement of Service. To advance the knowledge of service involves a range of topics that bring clarity and inspiration to service, such as the nature of the soul and its relationship to service, the role of service in spiritual traditions, how our hidden motivations can impact the quality of our service, a psychological and spiritual framework for the 7 evolutionary stages of service, and suggestions for identifying and working with the shadow of service. In Lesson 1, you are introduced to the Universal Tributes. You will be working with the tributes daily during the 3 months of the course. But what are the tributes, and how do they relate to service? The tributes are the very heart of mastering of living service as partnership with others, be it other people, animals, nature, or the planet. The tributes are inspired writings given to me in 1990. I have always felt that the source of the tributes was from a higher plane of consciousness. As I often mention throughout Born to Serve, the gift of the journey of service is that it reveals the powerful relationship between our motives for serving and the quality of our service. The tributes show us how to become aware of this relationship so we can make another choice concerning our thoughts and behavior. That is, by examining our choices, we can heal what is driving the motivations and qualities of the mind that do not serve ourselves or others. The tributes provide the energy, the inspiration, the drive, the juice, so to speak, for mastering the true partnership of service as conveyed in the Michelangelo metaphor. When we as servers focus on the quality of the mind, service becomes a powerful classroom for personal healing and growth. In other words, we are asked to relate and apply the tributes to both ourselves and others. You, as a student of the Born to Serve study program, are asked to focus each day on one tribute, contemplating and focusing on a tribute or one of its tenets is part of your daily spiritual practice. Doing so deepens your awareness of the connection between your motives for serving and the quality of your service. The tributes serve as the arms of service, holding us to integrity and impeccability while gently embracing us as we live our life fully and well. Let me end this audio by reading the 10 tributes on page 27 of Born to Serve. My life goal is to align my will with divine will and to increase the time I function in this state of higher knowing. I know my chosen life's purpose is in alignment with a higher purpose for me when I am inspired and when I experience the joy, spontaneity, and gratitude of service. Divine will works through me as me when I have no attachment to the form of the task and no expectations of outcome. By continually doing my inner work, I engender compassion for myself and others. With honesty and kindness, I take responsibility for my own choices and allow others to do the same. I use each encounter as a reflection of either a remembrance of divine love or a grievance I continue to hold against myself or another. I acknowledge the reciprocal relationship between giving and receiving, understanding that both are essential for the well-being of myself and others. I see the external reality of a situation as well as seeing beyond it to the personal lessons, inner strength, and spiritual essence of myself and others. I support my healing process and that of others with patience, gentleness, and unconditional acceptance. I accept the reality of the presence of divine love within my own mind and invite others to accept that same love within themselves.